Susie, how are you today? You doing all right? Good. Great to have you guys here today. Super stoked to finish a series that we've been doing for the last 3 weeks called Love, Sex, and Dating. This is the final week of our series. And what we're going to do today is, here in a minute towards the end of the message, I'm going to give you some things that I would do if I were you. And some single person assignments per se. Now, just if you haven't been with us in this series, let me catch you up a little bit so you understand what I'm talking about. The underlying theme of this series has been kind of in particular this. I have met in 22 years of ministry a lot of different people and encountered a lot of different people in different relationship venues of their life. Whether they've been dating, married, divorced, whatever it is, I've kind of encountered a lot. And I also kind of prefaced that first week that there's a lot of counseling sessions that happen for me as a pastor, the largest church in town, at Fry's and Walmart. Impromptu counseling happens a lot. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are like, no, I don't. Okay, I'll find you next time you're at Walmart and we'll have a counseling session. But anyway, here's what happens. A lot of times I find myself in those conversations where everything is just kind of like, oh my goodness, and I'm overwhelmed and hear these things and like they... You should meet Spielberg. He should do a movie about that. But I will hear the conversation and I will think something like this. I'll think, did nobody ever told you that was going to happen if you kept doing that? Or how did you not see that coming? Or how did you not know? And those are the thoughts that come in my mind. And because I'm a rather blunt person, sometimes I actually say those out loud. But here's what I kind of wanted to do is in this series, I kind of just wanted to tell you as young single adults that are out there, any teenagers that are out there, it's geared particularly for you, this series. But it's also very valuable information for divorced people who found yourself in this arena again called dating and what do I do now and what do I do next. It's for you. And there's invaluable knowledge for parents that are out there that have kids. Whether you're going to have that conversation with them later or you're having that conversation with them now, God help you. I'm praying for you because you need to pray for me. I'm having that as well. But I'm hoping that we can just share with you some things that maybe you didn't know. Maybe nobody ever told you. And that's what I kind of wanted to do in this series is just tell you those things. And that's what we've been after because our goal is to help everybody avoid the potential pain that you're most likely going to experience later because of the decisions that you're making now, all right? And basically what that means is this. We gave you a really deep way of saying it, and it was this, is your present will be your past, which will be present in your future. That was the deepest that I get ever. And that has significant meaning because it basically means this for those of you that like went way over your head, but those of you that like deep are like, dude, that's awesome. I'm going to look at that later. I have no idea what you mean, but I'm going to look at that. I'll just break it down for you. Your past has a very tricky way of sneaking up on you in your future. That's what that means. That's as simple as it is, which basically means this. What you're doing now, decisions you're making now, your actions now, they matter big time. And if you don't pay attention to them, you're going to mess up your future. You're going to mess up your future and you're going to impact it in a great, great way. So that's kind of what we're after. So just to give you a brief recap, because I want everybody on the same page as we kind of move into this idea today. We told you out of the start of the gate in this series, a very common misconception in culture today. Very common. It's this. It's called the right person myth. Everybody is on a quest, on a journey of trying to find the right person. Married people, you're out there and you remember what that was like, the whole dating scene. I'm trying to find the right person. And the whole idea behind the right person is we're going to end up living happily ever. Okay, second service, you really need to help me out today, okay? Because this is an interactive message today. But finding the right person is going to guarantee me that I'm going to live, what, happily ever? There we go. There we go. I just want to make sure you're out there because I'm blind. I can't see anything. I'm on the road to Damascus right now, okay? So we said this is a myth. The right person really isn't out there, all right? Because the idea behind the myth goes something like this. If I marry the right person, then everything's going to be... Okay, I pointed over here and they all said it. You guys, I'm going to point to you and you're going to say it on this next one. Because another way of saying that is, if I meet the right person, this is what your kids say. If I meet the right person, everything will be
all right.
Very good, very good. Everybody's on the same page. So that's the right person myth. And friends, that's wrong, okay? Because here's what happens. When you finally meet the right person that you think is the right person, all you really discover is they've been thinking the same thing that you've been thinking. And now you're just two screwed up people who thought you found the right person. Right? So this is a myth. So what we did is we tried to propose a different idea for you and said this. What if you approach your relationships, and this is valuable for wherever you're at and whatever relationship you're in. What if you stopped focusing all of your time and all of your attention on finding the right person? And you yourself started becoming the right person. We said, maybe this is the path that will take you to actually ultimately finding the right person. That you yourself become the right person. And then I followed that up with kind of an internal question that I think every young adult, young single person, wherever you're at in life, you got to ask this question. Loaded the guns for the parents and said, this is the question you got to have your kids asking as they're thinking about this in their life. This is what it is. Because if this idea is true, instead of finding the right person, I got to become, the right person, then you got to ask yourself this question. Am I who the person that I'm looking for is looking for? I got to look in the mirror. And I got to ask myself, am I who the person that I'm looking for is looking for? Right? That's what it all is. So then that first week, we kind of helped you out. And we gave you a little bit of a list. Just a quick snapshot of, hey, here's some good ideas of how you can become the right person. If you were here that first week, we gave you a really nifty little card and said, here, take this home. And some of you are like, dude, I wasn't there the first week. I didn't get one. Don't worry about it. You probably have one of these. It's called a Bible. It's in there as well, just so you know. All right? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a great, great list of becoming the right person. And as you read it, there's work that needs to be done on your part, but you're like, where's the benefit in this for me? Well, you'll find out that really most of the work that you're becoming to be is not for you. It's for the person that you're looking for is looking for, remember? Am I going too fast because you all like the heads are spinning? Do you need coffee? Can we get coffee served to everybody out here today? So this is the idea that we said. So 1 Corinthians 13, it's in there. That's your list, all right? Then the second week, I took an entire week and all the ladies said, amen. All the ladies said amen.
Amen.
Because if you remember, I talked to all the men and men alone in that second week. And basically, I challenged men to do something now in how you view women, because there's a problem and an epidemic quickly and rapidly sweeping over our culture today. And that is this, all right? Women today are frequently becoming talked about, viewed about, presented, sung about like a commodity. Like a commodity. And I said, this is very, very dangerous territory that we're moving into in our culture. All right? And that's the lie that culture is sending to you, that women are a commodity. If you don't know what a commodity is something like this. You go and buy a product, you go and purchase a product, and you love that product. It's awesome. Oh, I love my product, you know? It's amazing. It does amazing things for me. But then that product wears out. You get kind of old, you know? It gets kind of old. It's like a cell phone, right? And next year, the new model comes out. I just saw somebody told me, or I saw it on Facebook earlier, that the new iPhone SE is out. Whoop-e-s-e. I mean, in 6 months, the next one's coming out. It's a commodity, right? So what do I do when I'm tired of the new commodity? I take it back. I trash it. I trade it in. I go and I put it on eBay. Whatever it is, I'm done with that commodity, and I'm gonna do away with it, and I'm going to get a new commodity. And men are being trained to view women that way because culture is screaming this at us. And if we're not very careful, we're going to slip into the culture mindset of when this was actually spoken into existence back in John chapter 13. When Jesus says, listen, you need to love one another. And everybody's asking questions. Does that mean even the women, Jesus? Yeah, idiot, that means the women too. Seriously. And this is such a big deal, Jesus said, that by how you love one another, others are going to know that you're my disciple. By how, Jesus? By how you love one another. See, because when Jesus spoke this into the culture, women weren't viewed as commodities. They were commodities. And guys, if we're not careful, we're quickly moving that way in our culture. Your baby girls are being viewed that way. That freaks me out. That freaks me out. So we talked about that. And then last week, we made everybody a little nervous. So nervous, my wife didn't even come to either service last week. For some reason, she just stayed over there. But we talked about sex. Baby, let's talk about you and me. All right, so we talked about sex. And I shared with you another myth last week that is completely countercultural with what the Bible teaches about sex. Now, listen, I got no problem talking about sex. None whatsoever in church. Got no problem talking about money. And all of you are like, yeah, I know that. You know what I'm saying? And that sex thing. You ain't got no problem talking about it. No, I don't, because it's highly spiritual stuff. And I'm just telling you stuff that maybe you didn't know. That maybe you don't know. That maybe nobody ever told you. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about these really like, ooh, scary, you know, this is, I can't believe you say that stuff on stage. Why not? Jesus said it all the time. Shocked his audience all the time. But here's the myth that kind of flies in the face of the Bible and what the Bible teaches. And this is what culture is telling you. Sex is just physical. It's just physical. You know why they're not telling you the truth? Because it's boring. Sex is more than just physical? Yeah, that's boring. So this is the myth that the culture is telling you. And in other words, here's kind of how that broken down, all right? And this will maybe make more sense, right? If nobody gets pregnant, right? Nobody gets an STD. Nobody gets hurt. Then by all means, have a great time. Seriously, sex is just physical. No harm, no foul. Have fun. That's what we're being fed. But the truth is, according to my Bible, in case you've missed it so far in your life, I'm letting you know something that maybe nobody ever told you. Sex is not just physical, okay? It's not. And we told you the reality is, friends, that if you keep viewing and treating sex as just physical in your lives, all you're going to do is really, really, really damage yourself deeply. Deeply. Because here's the deal. I don't know if you know this or not, but you get to do life one time. I know that comes as shock as some of you because you're like thinking you're living your lives like cats, like nine lives. And I don't like cats at all. I like you, but I just don't like cats, okay? All right? But you get to do your life like one time. And in case you didn't know this, I'm just letting you know something. Your sexual life is a big deal to God. An extremely big deal to God. And what makes sex way more than just physical, it's found in one little word that many people don't know or understand. It's intimacy. Intimacy. And the definition of intimacy is to know and be fully known. To know and be fully known. So it's kind of like something like this, that when God created sex, I'm going to break it down for you so you understand. When God created sex, he thought something like this: I'm going to create something that when they experience it together, it's going to be really good. And it's good. I like it. I don't know if Ginger's in here. I won't speak for her, but I like it, right? So when they experience it, it's going to be good. But here's the thing that maybe you don't know that I'm letting you know today. When they experience it, it is supposed to reflect something that I want them to experience, what a relationship with me looks like. To know and to be fully known. So this gift, it's going to be powerful, but this gift, it's going to be fragile. I mean, it's easily broken. So I'm hoping, Jesus is like, I'm hoping that they are careful with this powerful yet very fragile gift. I'm hoping. And then this last thing, and we'll move on, but with the sex thing that you just got to get, we share with you a passage of scripture that you got to understand. This is why it's such a big deal, and sex is not just physical, all right? There is no other category of sin. It's in the Bible, friends. It's in the Bible. There is no other category of sin in life when it comes to ongoing consequences than the category of sexual sin. It's in the scripture. It says all other sins, lying, cheating, stealing, all of the other sins, you sin, all right, are outside of your body. Jesus paid for all of those. He died for them just the same. This sexual sin's the same. He died for it, okay? But the consequences are different because here's the thing. All these other sins are that you commit are outside the body. But when you commit sexual sin, you are sinning against your own body is what he says. That's why it hurts so bad. That's why someone that has been molested as a child or sexually abused as a child, they carry with them their whole life. That pain and that sorrow. Don't tell me sex is just physical. Because if that's the case, then just put your big boy pants on and move on. Sex is highly, highly spiritual and powerful. Sex is not just physical. Okay, I'm done. Let's pray and go home. I'm just teasing. Let's move on. All right, here we go. So for today, here's what we're really after this last week. All right, single people, I'm again speaking primarily to you. If you're divorced, you're in this arena again, I'm speaking to you moms and dads. I'm helping you out with your conversations with your kids, all right? Here's the thing. When your wedding day arrives, absolutely, no doubt about it, I've seen it many times because I've done many weddings. You can stand in front of your bride or your groom and you can say, I do. Anybody can do that. Anybody. Seen it. Performed it many times. Here's the greater question. Here's the greater question, and I dig into this in premarital counseling, all right? Because I know anybody can say I do. But the greater question is this. Can you follow through? Can you follow through? Well, here's what I mean by that. A promise, even a promise as big as a wedding vow, doesn't mean anything without preparation to back it up. It means jack. So. Here's what we're going to attempt to do today is at the very closing, I'm going to quickly run through this list of a lot of it's biblically based. A lot of it's just my opinion, years of experience, okay, of counseling people, what I've gone through in my own life with my own marriage. But I'm going to give you, you know, like 10 things that I would do if I were you, single person assignments. But before we do that, I want to talk to you just briefly, real quickly, to set the table of this. I want you to understand what it means to say I do and actually mean it. That's what I want to talk to you about, okay? So let me first start here, all right? Yesterday, Saturday, right? Anybody's favorite day? What's your favorite day of the week? Everybody, Saturday? Saturday's my favorite day of the week. Raise your hand. Awesome. Any of you married on a Saturday? Raise your hand. You're like, I don't know when I was married, but I'll go with it, you know? Gosh, you're in trouble. Whoa. All right, majority of people are married on Saturday. I've done lots of weddings, and most of them are on a Saturday. So here's my point. Every Saturday, pretty much all across this country, here's what's going to happen, and it happened yesterday. It's going to happen, you know, next week as well. But two single people are going to come together. And they're gonna come together in this little thing called a wedding. A man and a woman are gonna come together in this little thing called a wedding. And this wedding has, listen, the truth is they probably spent way too much time and way too much money on it. Can I get an amen, dads? Right? Okay. And here's what's gonna happen. This man and the woman, they're gonna come together and they're gonna make these promises to each other. They're gonna make these promises to each other. And here's what's gonna shock you, okay? They're going to make these promises to each other that they can't keep. They can't keep. Now please hear me because you're like, dude, how can you say that? Well, because I've seen it countless times. But here's the deal. They meant well. I mean, don't read me wrong. I'm pro-wedding, all right? I like that, all that stuff. And they weren't intentional by anything that they were saying. But here's the thing. They will make promises. They will go to the altar and they are like blinded. They've got you know blinders on and they're just so focused on him and her, the right person. You know, this is happening, and they're gonna go forward and they're gonna make a promise that they're not, here's the key word, prepared to keep. They're not prepared to keep. So here's what happens, and I'm saying all this just because I know this. I've got years of history in this. Here's what happens. 2 months later, 3 months later, 6 months later, sometimes even a year later, here's what's going to happen. All of a sudden, they're going to start thinking something like this. Whew, I really did mean it when I said it. I really did. But here's something I'm learning. This marriage thing, it's like hard. Hard, right? It's hard. And that's when it all goes just kind of like a little haywire in the situation. Because it's so hard, now they start looking at each other and they start holding each other accountable to what each other said. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes all these commitment wars that start breaking out. Commitment wars. That would make for some great reality TV, wouldn't it? Right? It actually does. We see it already. Commitment wars. You know what commitment wars are, right? It's like you said, no, no, you said. He said, she said. But you committed. No, you committed. Those are commitment wars. All hell has broken loose in this thing called marriage. So single people, please, now that I have your attention, with all of that said, let me say something very clearly for you today. This, again, is something you may not know. I am helping you out with something right now in the world of love, sex, and dating. Here it is. Ready? Invaluable knowledge. People will make promises that they can't keep. Can I get an amen? Hey, be careful. Don't you elbow your husband's lady right now. Come on. Single people, I'm helping you out. People will make promises. They fully anticipate making promises that they have no intentions or no preparation to keep. It happens all the time. And here's the reason. They're not prepared. They're not prepared. They overlooked a principle that's overlooked all the time, which is this. Might want to write this down. Promises are not a substitute for preparation. I'm going to say that again. And I'm hoping more than two people say, that's right, and amen. All right, anybody out there that's married, you should be, out of fear, you're afraid to say anything right now. But it's okay, you can say amen, all right? Everybody gets the freedom, I'm giving you the pass. Promises are not a substitute for preparation. They are not. They are not. And this happens all the time in relationships. It's something like this. Someone will be so much mad in love, and they're thinking, you know what? I'm so in love. And so, la, la, la. I actually believe that I am so in love that I can actually promise my way past my lack of preparation. And I think I can convince her. I think I can trick him. I think I can. And you can't. Listen, let me put it this way. Just because you say I do doesn't make you able. Just because you say I do doesn't make you capable. It only makes you accountable. Now listen to this. And when you become accountable for something that you are incapable of doing, you will eventually become miserable. All the married people said, oh, come on, your marriages aren't that bad. Suck it up. Come on. Listen, this is how it rolls. So I'm telling you all my single friends today, please hear me. I'm just trying to tell you something that maybe you didn't know. If you are not extremely careful now, you're gonna eventually think that you have the ability to commit, and your ability to commit will override your lack of preparation. And worse yet, I see this all the time. You're gonna allow some other person that you've supposedly fallen in love with, you know, the right person, that person, you're gonna allow them to convince you that their track record is irrelevant. That basically, they're going to make some magical commitment to you that will automatically change who they've always been. Ugh. So you need to understand something today. A A lack of preparation cannot be trumped by a promise. Because promises don't matter if a person hasn't prepared. Promises don't matter if a person hasn't prepared. Period. Now here's the problem. Here's the problem with everything that I've said so far. Single people, listen to me. I need your attention. If this is you out there, divorced person going through this arena, listen. Single people, you will never, ever, ever be less motivated to do something about this than right now in your time of life. I'm just helping you out right now. This stuff is like, that's pretty good, but I could care less because I'm in love, right? You will never be less motivated. Here's why. Because people don't get motivated about this idea until they find themselves in a bad marriage. Meaning right now, you don't think this is a big deal. But once again, I'm telling you something that you may not know. This is the time to take this seriously. Right now. So if you take one thing, just one thing from what I say today, if anything, take away this. You have got to prepare before you promise. You have got to prepare before you promise. Now here's the interesting thing. The interesting thing is this. When you look at the Bible, there's a guy in the Bible that wrote a couple books by the name of Solomon. All right? You might know him as King Solomon. And here's what he's really known for. He's known for being the wisest man that ever lived. So that's why the book of Proverbs, if you go to any type of counseling session, someone says, hey, man, go read Proverbs. Just read a Proverbs a day. They're brilliant, all this stuff. Wise, wise, wise counsel. I try to read Proverbs once a month, every time. I just try to remind myself these ideas, okay? So he actually says a lot about this stuff that we've been talking about, but I picked two verses that he said, and we're going to kind of break those down to kind of back up this whole point of you got to prepare before you promise, okay? Here's what it is. You got your Bibles, you can turn there in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8, first part, okay? He starts off by saying this. He says, the wisdom of the prudent, that's a Bible word, isn't it? Prudent. Now, let me pause right here and explain to you what the word prudent means. In the Hebrew text, that's the Old Testament, this word prudent basically means that a prudent person understands this idea that all of life is connected in some way or shape. All of life is connected. A prudent person understands that what happened yesterday impacts tomorrow. All right? A prudent person is somebody who understands what we talked about the very first week and we just talked about the very beginning of this message. A prudent person understands that what I do today, my present right here, all right, will eventually become a part of my yesterday. That's my past. And it will eventually become a part of my tomorrow, which is my future. That's what a prudent person means. Are y'all tracking? Say yes. Okay, so a prudent person is a really smart person, all right? And they pay attention to things. So are you prudent today? Okay, 4, 5, 6 people are paying attention to what I'm saying right now. So are you more prudent? Come on, are you prudent? Okay, very cool. So let's keep walking. He goes on to say this. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Let me pause right here again and tell you what ways are, all right? Ways are behaviors. Ways are patterns. Ways are habits. Ways are trends. Ways are what make us predictable. If you're a teenager out there, this is the best way to say it. Ways are why your parents already know what you're going to do before you do it. Again, amen, mom and dad. Amen. Right? So I think it's safe to say that everybody has ways, right? Yes? Yes, okay. So far, here's what Solomon is saying. He's saying the wise person who knows that all of life is connected in some way, shape, form, or fashion, they pay extremely close attention to the ways of others or themselves and how they do things and when they do things and where they do things. Basically this, in a nutshell, this is it, all right? And you can write this down. The best indicator for future behavior is my past behavior. Okay? The best indicator for my future behavior is my past behavior. So with that said, here's what we know so far. The prudent person pays attention. not to commitments or promises, because they're smarter than that. And commitments and promises, they don't indicate anything. They pay attention to theirs and others' past ways, patterns, and trends. And then he goes on with this thought, with a contrasting idea. And that's a lot of the way that the Proverbs are written. There's this one thought and there's this second thought, and they're kind of put next to each other in comparison. And here's what he says next. Proverbs 14:8b, his contrasting idea. But the folly, that means stupidity, that means ignorance, of fools, that means stupid people or ignorant people. I'm just helping you out. You probably don't know Hebrew, so I'm helping you out. Of fools is what? Is deception. So here's the major point of this proverb. While the prudent person is constantly examining and evaluating their ways and other people's ways, their patterns, their trends, their habits, their past behaviors, the fool, on the other hand, the fool doesn't pay any attention to any of those things. The fool thinks something like this. You know what? Regardless of how my life has usually gone, regardless of how I've usually acted when that usually happens, regardless of how I've usually responded to this when that happens, I still believe, I got faith in me. I still believe that somehow I'm going to end up in a place that nothing I'm doing in my current life is pointing me towards now. Fools think something like this. Fools think something magically is just going to happen to get me where I want to be, regardless of my seemingly incapabilities to get me there now. And when I say it like that, is that not just a bunch of junk? I mean, how is that not so confusing? You're like, how did you even get that out without stumbling out of the words? I have no idea. I kind of half read it because it's so dumb. And some of you are thinking, that's what my kid says all the time. That's what they, yes, it's stupid. That's what fools do. They don't even give thought to ways, trends, patterns, behaviors, the past. Proverbs 14:15, the second verse, this is even more to the point. 14:15, he says, the simple believe anything. The simple believe anything. So this is where I just need to stop real quick. And I need to tell you something very clearly. All the single people today in the room, I'm going to tell you something again that you might not know, okay? When you eventually fall in love, trust me, this happens all the time. You will believe anything. You will. Some of you are still delusional. You're still believing anything. Some of the married people out there, you're like, dude, go pull me out. No, you are. You'll believe anything. Here's what I mean. Let me break this down. Let me try and narrate it for you, okay? Here's what I mean. You single people, you have so much chemistry, remember? We have so much chemistry. And I get it. I do. I hear it all the time. Nobody has ever loved like you have loved. So why not propose now? Since you've got something that nobody else has ever had, why are you waiting around, man? Put a ring on it, baby. Put a ring on it. I'm just trying to be sensitive here and help you understand something about this point. Listen, I get it. I do. I truly do. You and your boyfriend, you are so much in love that you even have a song. Whoa. Are you kidding me? That is huge, man. When you have a song, there is no reason to wait, man. Get married now. It's just time out. Just so understand, if you're a single person out there, young teenage girl, whatever guy, and you have a song, and you tell your mom and dad, we're so in love, we have a song. You know what I'm saying? Let me just tell you what your mom and dad are thinking. That's cute and all, but does he have a job? just helping you out a little bit right there, okay? Just helping you out, all right? But I'm sensitive. I'm sensitive. I want to work with you on this thing, right? All you young single people that are in love, I get it. You listen, you even have the same initials. My gosh, the stars have aligned. Young girls, man, this goes on with you even beyond high school and the college. You practice writing his last name to your name like 1,025 times. Right? You know what I'm talking about. You even have cute names for each other like Pookie and Schmoopy. Are you freaking kidding me? Since all of that is there, why are you not already married? Why not? What's keeping you from going down the aisle like yesterday? What is going on? Here's my point. My point, single friend. Here's my point. I love you. I'm telling you, I love you, okay? Listen. When you fall in love, you will lose your mind. I lost my own mind. I lost my own mind. All right? You will lose your mind. And when you lose your mind, guess what? You will believe anything. Anything. Now, this is a great part because all the adult, the married people that are all screwed up because they're like, I wish I would have knew this stuff before I married that person. You know, listen, they're the ones all laughing. And for some reason, I'm talking to all the single people, and you people are out there kind of like this. So what's your point? You criticized my song. You know, so I know you're probably not believing me, so let me help narrate a little bit more for you right now, okay? This whole point, because this is a big point. Here's what I'm talking about, since you're not buying it. The in-love girl, or the in-love guy, comes to the in-love girl and says something like this. If you marry me, I'll change. Listen, follow me. So here's what happens. The in-love girl, she's in love. The in-love girl then says something like this. You do that for me? I love you so much. You're amazing. Because you would do that for me. You would change for me. From here forward, I'm going to focus on your promise. So here's, listen. Now Solomon, here's what Solomon would say to you. If that's you. Solomon would say, okay, I am all for love. And I mean love in the deepest forms because I wrote Song of Solomon, man. I am all for love. But that right there that you're telling me, that right there, that's just stupid. Stupid. What do you say? I tip my hand as a parent right now. Teenagers, if you're out there, single guys, girls, listen to me. This is why your parents freak out when you bring some of your friends over to their house. Some of, you know, the friends that you talk about and you think are so cool. And the reason they're so cool is because they do stupid stuff. You know what I'm saying? Or when your parents freak out because you bring over the guy or the girl that you want to date. And you're like, why don't you see this? He's so amazing. You know, and all this stuff. And they freak out. Listen. Here's why they freak out. I'm tipping my hand as a parent. They're not looking at the love. They're not looking at the love that you claim to have. Because here's what your parents know. They know that in love people do stupid in love stuff. And you're like, how do they know that? Because they were stupid in love people once too. And now they know something that they didn't know back then and they've learned from it. So they become what? Prudent. Because when you bring that guy over and he's all tatted, earrings, in places that you can't even see earrings. And they're saying, no way. You're like, put him in a phone, we have a song. You know what your mom and dad are thinking? Oh, but he has ways, patterns, trends, visually thought patterns, past behaviors that are stupid, right? Now listen to how he contrasts this first idea. Proverbs 14:15, he says, but the prudent, the person that knows that everything's connected, what I do today will be tomorrow and it will impact or will be yesterday, and will impact tomorrow, right? The prudent gives thought to their steps. And here's why the word steps is highlighted and why it's such a big word in this particular idea. When you look at a person's steps, you can tell what? Where they are going. Meaning a prudent person, a wise person that understands all of this stuff, they look at where a person is going. They don't look at the other stuff. They pay attention to the other stuff, right? But they don't look there. So let me sum everything up, all right, before we move really completely forward. This is huge. You might want to write this down. The paths people choose will always trump the promises they will make. Always, every time. Meaning this, when you eventually, see a young single person, listen, when you eventually look at the person you are dating or will be dating, the question is not this. This is not the question. What are the promises that they are making to me? Wrong question. Wrong question. Here's the question. Where have they been and where are they going? That's the question that a prudent person asks. So that basically means this. Words are meaningless. How many times have you told your kids that? You could tell me thank you until you're blue in the face. Show me your thank you. Right? Words are meaningless. Promises are purposeless. The past is always a better indicator than a promise. Always. Always. And that means this, to kind of stay in theme with what we've been talking about this series. If you have come to a point in your life that you are really committed to becoming the person you are looking for is looking for, then here's kind of the first thing. It's kind of a preview of the 10. This isn't a part of the 10, but here's a preview. If you're seriously committed to becoming the person that you're looking for is looking for, here's kind of that first idea that I think you ought to do, all right, if I were you. I would commit now to becoming someone who can keep their commitments later. I would commit now to becoming someone who can keep their commitments later. That's the goal. That, just so you know, single people, that is the goal. This is what you should be working on. So when you actually say, I do, you really can do. Amen. Understand? Everybody tracking? Know what I mean? Yes? Okay, so here real quick, with our remaining time, I'm going to really quickly run through like 10 things of what I would do if I were you, okay? To kind of put you on the right course, single person assignments, to becoming the person that you're looking for is looking for, all right? Especially when it comes to the idea of prudence. When it comes to the idea of prudence, all right? Single person assignments. Here's some good ways, habits, patterns, trends to committing now to becoming someone you can keep. That can keep their commitments later, okay? Here's number one. If you're a note taker, you want to write these down, all right? Here, again, this is my last attempt at telling you some things that maybe you didn't know, okay? Just to help you out, all right? Moms and dads, I'm loading your arsenal right now to help you out, okay? Here's number one. Addressed unresolved childhood issues, okay? Again, and you're going to ask, where do you get all these things, like, Where do you get your credibility on this? Okay, 22 years of ministry, I think that's okay to go ahead and, I think I've crossed the line of saying I got a little cred there, okay? And hundreds of counseling appointments with people with broken relationships. So I'm going to help you with that, all right? And if you still doubt me, that's cool. You're totally entitled to your opinion because these are just kind of opinions that I have for you as well, all right? But the first one is address your unresolved childhood issues. And this is kind of an umbrella. It is like we throw out the net and it covers everything. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse, whatever your childhood issues are, in particular with your mama and your daddy. In particular with your mama and your daddy. But it could go beyond that and be another family member. But here's this is probably the most difficult one. And I'll be honest, I threw this out first because this could probably be a series in itself. Andy's out there, yeah, amen, amen. Yeah, it could. There's no doubt about that. So let me kind of give you a single statement of what some experts said about this that kind of drills this down, okay, this idea. Here's what they said. This is Les and Leslie Parrott. If you attempt to build intimacy. There's another one of our big words in this series. If you attempt to build intimacy with a person before you've done the hard work of becoming, interesting, there's another one of our big words in this series. With a person before you've done the hard work of becoming a whole and healthy person, then every relationship will just be an attempt to complete the whole in your heart. I'm going to say this again now that it's up there. If you attempt to build intimacy, that's what we're after, right? To be known and fully known. To attempt or to build intimacy with a person before you've done the hard work of becoming, that means I can't find, I've got to become, becoming a whole and healthy person yourself, then guess what, friends? Then every relationship that you are in will be a futile attempt to complete the whole in your heart. Now, here's why this is so important. All right, single people, listen to me, because I've seen this happen so many times. If there is any sort of tension in or problems in your past or your current parental relationships, okay, all right. So you've got you. I'll go vice versa because this makes sense to me. You got you, and you've got your parents, and then you've got static electricity all the way right here in between the two of you. Past, current, parental problems right here. All right. Once you get married, here's what happens. This is what happens. I see it all the time. Your future spouse, all they do is they move from over here where your parents are and all this friction in you. They move in right here. They move in front of your mom and dad, and they're like wiggle their way down into all that tension and past problems. Oh my gosh. They just take the place of all your past parental issues. Meaning this, they become right here wedged in, they become the ones who now take the brunt of all your previous tension that you once had with your parents. Right? And here's the kicker. Your spouse, hello, sweet little spouse, right person, you know, right? Now you know, right there. Here's the kicker. Your spouse, they won't even know what they did. What, huh? When they did it, how they did it, all because of your past mama and daddy issues. See it all the time. Now, here's what happens. All the smart married people, they go to counseling, all right? They go see Andy and Nancy, all right? And after months and months of counseling, it finally comes out. There's a breakthrough. It finally comes out, and it goes something like this. Oh, the guy. Oh, so you mean that all this is happening with my wife right here in my marriage because I'm still mad at my mama? And she's over here sitting here thinking, I can't say yes, but I want to scream it. Yes. So she's hoping the counselor does that, right? But here's the problem. Most married people aren't smart people. So they don't go to counseling. And it usually ends up really bad, all because of unresolved childhood issues. Trust me on this one. Just trust me. I hope I've explained it enough. Trust me on this. You don't want to drag that stuff, unresolved childhood issues, into your future relationships. You don't. So, if I were you, single person assignment, resolve. Sometimes that may mean you forgive and you never get, you know, someone saying I'm sorry back, but you let it go. Let it go, let it go. Don't hold it back anymore. Okay, so you know what I'm saying. Okay. Ladies, this next one's for you. And all the guys are like, yes, about freaking time, dude. You spent a whole week on us, all right? Ladies, this one's for you. Please pay attention. This is a big one, okay? Again, this is just if I were you, okay? Don't dress like a commodity. And don't be put up with being treated like one either. Okay? And be careful of saying amen, because some of you are like, all right, out there. Because I'm going to add a little tag here, okay? Be careful. You probably just wait until I make a point before you say amen, because you might get caught, okay? All right? Today, just letting you know. Moms and dads, don't dress or let your baby girls dress like commodities. Okay? Don't do it anymore. Single ladies, please listen to me, because I really do care about you, and this is why I'm telling you this. In your life of dating, if you dress like a commodity and you put up with being treated like a commodity, I'm just going to ask a very logical question for you. Guess what's going to happen when you get married? Guess what's going to happen? You're right. Your future husband, if he dated you like a commodity, guys, it should come as no surprise. He's going to continue treating you like a commodity. So here's it. Help him out. Please. He doesn't think right. He doesn't. So help him out and become, there's a word again, become something different. Here's a simplified way of wording this, okay? Let me just give you another analogy. Do you know how a fisherman determines the bait that he's going to use to catch fish with? Think about this, okay? The answer is this. It determines what type of fish he's fishing for. That determines the bait. So, get this. If you keep fishing with your bodies, ladies, you're going to keep catching body snatchers. You are. Every single time. And then here's the most shocking thing. It leads the woman to begin to think like this. She'll say something like, you've heard it all the time. All men are alike. All men think the same way. They treat me the same. All men are alike. And here's what I do when I sit down and I counsel a young woman or a divorced woman and something like that, and they like scream, all men are alike. I'm sensitive. I'm empathetic. I'm serious. I'm sympathetic. All right? But here's what I say to them, and if that's you out there, all men are alike. Listen, here's what I would say to you. No. Not all men are alike. All the men that you date are alike. And this is where they really get ticked off at me. And you're probably mad at me right now, so don't leave. If you're a single lady out there, don't leave. Because let me back it up. Because I'm like, let me prove this to you, okay? Let's just take the last five relationships that you were in, okay? All right? There was him and you, him and you, him and you, him and you, him and you. So you got five guys. And you got one you. What's the common denominator? And then I go like this, and they go, poof, you know, punch me in the face. No, I'm giving you a big hug right now, ladies. Young single women. Mamas, they're like, that girl, she's dressing like that. And they're like, no, she doesn't have to dress like that. Don't feed her for a month until she stops dressing like, do whatever it takes. Don't let her dress like that. Listen. I love you. This is why I'm saying this right now. Ladies, you're so much more than a body. So much more than a body. Save your body for later. Save it. Fish with something else, because I promise you, you have better bait than just your body. You do, okay? Let's keep walking, okay? Men, this one's for you. And the lady's like, yeah, he needs more than just a week, okay? So Here's the guys. This is for you. Ready? Go back and listen to the second week's message and memorize it. Okay? There it is. All right? That's the guys. There's not much more that I need to say. They got a whole week, ladies, okay? So guys, this one's yours. If I were you, I'd go back and listen to the second week's message and memorize it, okay? All right? Sound good? Let's keep moving on. All right, number four. If I were you, single person assignment, I would get out of debt. All right. Now here's why this one's on the list. Okay, you can get out of debt a lot quicker as a single person than you can as a married person. And if you doubt me, can I get an amen from all the married people right now? Yeah. Okay. Now, this one speaks true to me because I carried this into mine. And this is one of those things that if I could go back and do it again and I would have known back then, I wouldn't have done this. Whatever, okay? So get out of debt. Furthermore, just a single quick note on this and we'll move on. If you're a single person and you have a lot of debt, all right? Or you're a single person that's about to marry somebody with a lot of debt themselves. Just so you know, that's a path. That's a way. That's a trend. That's a pattern that you're carrying into your marriage. Just throwing that out there. Let's keep moving. Number five, ready? Break your bad habits. Break your bad habits. If I were you, before you say I do, break your bad habits. Now, I realize this is a broad statement, so let me tell you why I put this one in here, okay? Single people, hear me clearly, okay? For some reason, we all think that marriage just fixes everything, okay? Marriage, let me write this down. Marriage is not designed to solve problems. It is not designed to solve problems. This is not what marriage does, okay? Here's what marriage does. In marriage, the great things get better and the bad things get worse. Every time. But it doesn't solve any previous problems. So if you have a bad habit now, all right, then trust me, you're going to still have a bad habit then. The only difference, you'll now be married with a bad habit. Congratulations. That's it. All right? Now, and this is last thing on this point, and I can guarantee you this because I've had a lot of counseling sessions on this one. This is crazy. I bet you a lot of money on this one, okay? This, once you get married, I promise, everything gets more complicated. Everything. Okay? And here's the guarantee. I'll bank on this. Whatever their issue was, their bad habit, in probably about, if I guesstimated, maybe about 6 months, whatever their bad habit, whatever their issue was, in as little as 6 months, it's going to be your fault. It's going to be your fault. I didn't do anything. I know. Bad habit. That's a pattern. That's a trend. That's a way. That's past behavior. Okay, so there's that one, okay? Number six, postpone the physical stuff as long as possible. If I were you, I just, you know, this. And I'll just go back to one of the key thoughts during our sex week, okay? Listen, young single people, you're like, but I have my needs and I want to do this and I want to see if we're compatible. Listen, no, it's you need a body budget, you need a sex budget, okay? That means what do I have and what am I going to spend, okay? You got to decide that. Giving up something now, listen, for something better later, is not a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. It's an investment. It's an investment. And every time that you decide, right now, young single adult, every time you decide to set a sexual standard and a moral principle, you are investing in the best part, your future relationship. Your future relationship. Guaranteed. Number seven kind of goes right along with number six. Good timing. This is for the men again. And men are like, dude, come on, quit picking on us. Listen, here's for the guys again, okay? Number seven, go back to listen to the second week's message and memorize it, okay? All right. Am I right, guys? Ladies, am I right? They didn't listen the first time. Men don't listen, so I thought I'd tell them again. Can I get an amen, ladies, on that one? Men, go back and listen to the second week's message and memorize it, okay? Just help you out. Number eight. Is this, if I were you, I would avoid living together. I would. And you can, I'm cool. I've got thick skin. You can go ahead and chalk me up as a religious guy in this one saying, dude, I knew you'd say something like that. Listen, that's cool, all right? But here's what I want you to do before you just throw me under the bus and like, whatever, dude, that's what the Bible preacher says, okay? Just go read all the studies and all the statistics that our culture, you know, our very own world provides you, okay? And you'll find yourself nothing. Absolutely nothing shows that you living together before marriage provides you on a path to happily ever after. Nothing. Go read it. okay? Number nine, because we're a very secret-sensitive church and secret-friendly church, I know, I get it. We get a lot of unsaved non-Christians that are with us, and many of them are here today, so I thought I'd throw you one today. I'd throw a non-Christian friend of mine that's here today. I might not even know you, but you're my friend because you're at church. This one's for you, and listen, I'm saying this right up front. I don't expect you to want to even listen to this one because you know you're thinking, well, I'm not even one of you. I get that. That's cool, but this is free. I'm just giving this to you. If you're a non-Christian single person or non-Christian divorced person, here's for you. Number nine, ready? Don't date a Christian unless you plan on becoming one yourself. Okay? Now, here's why I'm helping you out, okay? Let me tell you why. You don't know they're doing this, but listen, I'm a Christian. I like it. It's pretty cool. I follow Jesus. He's at the top of my list. So, and they're going to probably, if you're dating one right now, they're going to probably be mad at me for letting you know this, okay? And I'm cool. No one's going to shake my hand walking out today. I get it, especially if you're dating a non-saved person. But here's what you need to know today, unsaved Christian or unsaved Christian friend of mine today. When a Christian dates a non-Christian, listen, I'm just letting the cat out of the bag. It's all bait and switch, all of it. All of it is bait and switch. I'm just letting you know. You need to understand this up front. And you're like, well, how do you know that? I can prove it. They have you at church today. You're like, what? Wait, how'd they do that? You know, they have you at church today. Listen to me. Again, this is free for all my non-Christian single friends today. Listen, if you keep going this path, I'm letting you know something that maybe you didn't know, okay? Listen, Christians have an agenda. They have an agenda, okay? And if you actually say yes and you get married to them and then you have kids, it's over. Game over. Game over right then on the spot. Because they're like, I'm going to raise my kids in church. Are you going with me or not? You know, so this has happened. I just thought you would want to know this. And lastly, just one little bit more tidbit of information from my non-Christian friends today, okay, to help you out. If you're sleeping with a Christian, now they're a hypocrite. And just so you know, in case you forgot, non-Christian friend, the worst thing that you hate is hypocritical Christians. Now it's just a mess. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to help you out right there, non-Christian friends of mine, okay? Today, I just want to throw that one out there. Last one, number 10. We're almost done. Ready? Get involved in your local church. Now, I know that you would probably have expected, hey, you're the pastor, you got to say that one, right? Okay. Why should I get involved in the local church? Well, here's probably the best and most important reason. Jesus died for it. Okay? That should be enough, right? But here's the deal. Listen to me, friends. In order for you to become the person you're looking for, that really is a big deal. Because if you're young, single, adult, and you're looking for love, and you've decided, I'm going to start becoming the person that I need to be looking for instead of finding the right person. I promise you, or divorcee, I promise you, you will find another person most likely, and the percentage of chances are higher of finding them in a church than at the bar that you go to Saturday night. Okay? Now, I get we're not a huge community just yet, and even though we're the largest church in town, there's not a lot of singles down here because we don't have apartments and don't have all the jobs yet or whatever. But if that means here or wherever you go that God leads you to another church or whatever, get involved. And what I mean by getting involved, I don't mean just go to church and then hopefully like some guy will sit down randomly next to you. You know, one of those? No. No. Remember, it's all about you becoming the person you're looking for. So get involved. Serve. Because then what happens is that priority of finding the right person just kind of slips down the list and it's down here. And you're up here and you're like, I'm just becoming the person I need to be. Right? And then all of a sudden when you're not really even wanting a guy or a girl, they show up. Something weird like that happens. This is crazy. It happens all the time. But here's the beauty part about serving. Getting involved in a local church. when you get involved in a local church and you serve, you're doing nothing more than this. You're learning how to serve other people with the right heart. And then here's what's amazing. Here's what's, I mean, brilliant. The last time I checked, serving people with the right heart is pretty much what encapsulates what a great marriage looks like. You're just practicing what you're wanting to eventually become. Okay? So that's it. Love, sex, dating. Let's all stand to our feet and heads bowed and eyes closed, and we'll wrap this up, all right? Cool? Let me, all heads are bowed and eyes are closed real quick. I really don't know where today's message landed with you or even this series has landed with you, but I do hope that you've learned a thing or two that maybe you never knew before about love, sex, and dating. Because if we were able to accomplish that in this series, that's a win-win for us. We were able to kind of just like get you to pump the brakes in an area. Just pause, slow down, whatever it is, that would be the goal. That would be the goal. But if it's specific and you were able to take even a greater step, maybe it was you learn and you made a commitment. I'm going to stop looking and trying to find the right person, and I'm going to start becoming the right person. Maybe that's what you learned. Awesome. Maybe you learned, men, that you need to stop viewing and treating women like commodities. You need to start viewing and treating women the way that your heavenly Father created them to be treated and viewed. And if that's you guys, awesome. Awesome. Maybe you learned that nothing could be farther than the truth than this lie. Sex is just physical. It's actually about intimacy, to know and to be fully known. And when you sin sexually, it's different. It's different. It's like no other sin. It affects you in like no other way because you're sinning against yourself. And you learn that and you're like, man, I made sense of that. Wow. And I took some steps towards getting freedom in that. If you learn that, awesome. Maybe today you learned that, oh my gosh, I am not ready to say I do. There is some work that I need to do to prepare before I promise. So when I do say I do, I can actually do. You know what I'm saying? I just hope and pray this, that something we said moved you closer towards a greater awareness about a really big conversation and big topic called love, sex, and dating. That's what I'm hoping more than anything else happened. And here's what my last challenge for you to be would be, because I kind of rambled off, you know, the real quick pointers. Here's my last thing. If you're out there, don't get super aggressive, okay? So I'm going to do them all. No, stop. Slow down. Pump the brakes, buddy, okay? Just bite off one. Do one thing. Because here's what happens. When you can do one thing and get really good out of it, then you're going to grow in your strength in Jesus to be able to do the next thing and then the next thing. The problem is you will experience burnout faster and quicker if you try to do it all at once. You can't do it. So start small. Aim small, miss small. That's what you're after right there, okay? Aim small, miss small. Let me pray for us and we'll get you out of here. Jesus, thanks for today. Thanks for this series. Thanks for my friends that are here today. I pray that you'd move in a mighty way in their life. I pray that someone's life will have moved forward and they've gained some knowledge in areas that they just didn't know anything about. I thank you for the word of God and how it speaks to us. Change someone's life for your kingdom, Jesus, today. In your son's precious and holy name.